Cool. So, hey, my name's Jason Andrew. I'm a chartered accountant by profession, and I'm the Alt MBA 10. I guess numbers is my thing. So, quantification of stuff, finances, accounting, that's my space. And I've been on a journey for the past probably 10 years of really exploring that area and trying to present to the world my assertion of how we can better use numbers to aid better decision making. A lot of the topics, well, the assertion I'll present today is trying to use numbers to hack our behavioral psychology, or and we'll explore some of those concepts later in the chat. So.
Awesome. So let's talk about this design of the financial budget and dig deep into it, and then we'll pause and then have a conversation with those in the room.
Cool. All right. Well, we'll jump straight in. So, today's assertion will be basically trying to help everyone here design a financial budget that you'll actually stick to. So, when it comes to our personal finances and even our business finances, generally they fall into the same bucket as they do with our New Year's resolutions. I'm going to lose 10 kilos this year. I'm going to work out 4 times a week. I'm going to do all these things. And what generally happens, depending on your level of self-discipline, is that these habits quickly fade after January, February, and usually that's it. So the art to making things stick is to set up systems so we can basically keep ourselves accountable to certain things. The unfortunate thing is when it comes to our finances, we're told by our financial planners and wealth experts that we need to be doing all these complicated spreadsheets and doing all these different ways, like investing all your surplus income and all this sort of stuff. But we're not actually told how to simplify the entire process. So I've come up with a tactic or a tool that I've learned over the years and incorporated from different business people and wealth gurus to implement what I use for my clients and also just my peers. So we'll jump straight into assertion. So I don't know about you, but I'm a sucker for buffet restaurants, right? So, and the best buffet restaurant I've been to was when I visited Las Vegas in 2011. It was the famous Bellagio Casino. For $43, you get an amazing spread of food. So you can think of every cuisine imaginable, from like Alaskan king crab to filet mignon to an entire sushi station. It was just, they had every food available. They even had like this crazy dessert bar where they had like 10 executive chefs punching out creme brulees and these delicious pastries. And I'm a food guy, so I was literally in heaven. And buffet restaurants are my Achilles heel because when food is plentiful and in abundance, I take all you can eat a little bit too literally. Right? So at buffet restaurants, you find that the plate sizes are like 5 times larger than they are at home, right? So you've got these giant plates. You go up to your station, you get these shovels of these things, and you start piling your plate worth of food. You rush back to your counter or your table. And for some reason, it feels like an eating competition. I don't know about you guys, but like you end up just like, you eat faster than you normally do because you don't want to get too full. So you can always go back for seconds, thirds, fourths, right? And after like your second helping, your stomach is already exploding, right? You're so full to the point that it hurts to breathe. But you can't help but just keep going back for more, right? You always go, oh, I'll have some dessert this time. So I go to the dessert bar and keep loading up on more pastries. And you look at it and you instantly regret the amount of food that you've decided to pile on your plate, but you just keep picking at it. Even though you're not hungry, you just pick, right? And the result is that all too familiar feeling of sickness and regret, right? So you wipe out the rest of the day or the evening, and all you want to do is sit on your couch and watch Netflix. So an interesting thing is wondering, like, why do we do it? Right. So it actually turns out it's a cognitive weakness. Our brains are bound by a genetic legacy to our hunter-gatherer ancestors some 1.8 million years ago. And so in a time when food was scarce, the human predisposition in these times was survival, right? So when, perceived with an opportunity for a quick reward and opportunity to eat food, our ancestors would, lurch on to the opportunity and ask to take it. So an example is when our ancestors came across a big tree bearing these big fat juicy fruits. that would literally go in and climb a tree and start eating, scoffing down these fruits before the baboons could get to them, right, and take their prize, right? So simply put, the more food that's really available to us, the more we eat. It's just hardwired into our DNA. So turns out this behavioral flaw actually applies to other areas in our life, and that includes our finances. So have you ever been in a position where you've received a massive bunch of cash into your bank account? So perhaps it was like a big tax refund from the IRS, or maybe it was, you know, a big customer deposit from a client that you received. What's your first reaction? You think, woo, like I'm cashed up. You feel really good. You feel wealthy. You feel the need to, you feel really generous, and you just start, you know, paying out things. You start buying all these great things and you feel the need to spend it really quickly. And as humans, we have this natural tendency to spend money as we see it. Unfortunately, this can get us into a lot of trouble financially when we spend money on things that are unnecessary, and sometimes even spend money on money that doesn't belong to us, i.e., you know, our credit card debt, right? So that's stuff that it's not our money, it's the bank's money. So we're told by financial experts and wealth gurus like, you know, Robert Kiyosaki and Anthony Robbins that we should all maintain a budget, right? You should have some discipline around your personal finances. And you know, we should keep track of them. There are a few words in the English language that conjure feelings of scarcity and deprivation than the word budgeting, right? Our lizard brain responds to it in the same way that it does the word diet. It's complete utter dread. Budgeting, like dieting, sucks because it requires determination. It requires us to be disciplined with our spending habits. It forces us to think twice about what we want to buy. Sometimes we have to adopt this mentality of penny pinching, right? And no one likes a tight ass, right? It's very much like finite thinking. So today, what I want to do is help you reframe what budgeting is. So the tactic I will share with you is not about keeping this gnarly, complicated spreadsheet or switching your daily latte to instant coffee. No, I'm more interested in a simple tactic that does, I think, 80% of the hard work. And that is as simple as using multiple bank accounts. Now, you're probably wondering, you know, what does that mean? What does that look like? But basically, by using multiple bank accounts, what it means is you split your cash across multiple parts of your personal finances. So what it is, you know, using the food analogy, it is the equivalent of eating off small plates of food. So allow me to explain this concept. So for your personal finances, everyone should have at least 5 bank accounts, right? So you've got your first one, which is your savings account, which is the money you want to save and accumulate. The second bank account is for your food and entertainment. So that's like your weekly grocery shopping, you might be your alcohol budget for the month or whatever. Your transport is for your Ubers, your Lyfts, your, you know, registrations, car repayments, etc. Fourth bank account covers your rent and your mortgage repayments. And the fifth is kind of everything else. So it's your health, childcare, education, etc. So the idea here is to split your money across your paycheck. So when you receive your paycheck, split your money across these multiple bank accounts, depending on the percentage of allocations of what you're trying to do with your budget. Now, later in this talk, I'll actually present to you an Excel spreadsheet that I've put up and you can take home to use for yourself, but we'll demonstrate what that looks like exactly then. So the idea here is by splitting the money across multiple bank accounts, you're already anchored to the amount of money that you can spend literally for that month. So you're not tempted to dip into your savings and spend that when you can. Now, from a business perspective, so, you know, for the solopreneurs particularly, the same principle applies. So you'll have 5 bank accounts set up in your business. You'll have 1 for your cash deposits. So that's where all your clients and customers pay your money into. The second bank account is for the surplus profit you've generated. I'll come back to that in a second. Third is for your staff and contractor wages. Fourth is kind of all the other general operating expenses. And fifth is for your taxes. Now, the surplus profit account is really important because as startup business owners or even business owners generally, we're all often as founders the last to pay ourselves, right? So we're always investing back in the business. We're investing back into our staff. And quite often, we're the ones that are stuck with what's left. And so by actually budgeting for profit, it helps to prioritize what the margin that you should be generating for your business and making sure that you're looking after yourself financially as well as the owner. So the tactic here is the same principle. At the end of the month, what you do is you calculate what's been deposited or collected from all your customers and actually transfer that money across the other parts of the function of your business via the bank account. So what I'm going to do now is go through a practical example using a Google sheet that I've prepared. So we'll start with our personal budget. So in this quick, simple spreadsheet, we've got our bank accounts here. So you've got the savings bank account for entertainment, transport, housing, and healthcare. And now you'll notice on this column, we've got these percentage allocations. So what this is basically giving you a guide of what percentage of your money you should be allocating to spend on each of these cost buckets, right? So in this example, this person wants to save 5% of their income, right? So we put 5% there. And the rest of these buckets are based on your lifestyle. So to determine really what your current spending habits are in terms of your lifestyle across food and entertainment, transport, housing, healthcare, etc., what you can do is just pull up your bank statement from last month or your credit card statement and just do like a really high level kind of some coding, right? So understand, okay, how much did I spend on food last month? How much did I spend on transport? And just give you a very high level idea of what percentages that you're spending on of your pay and basically key in those figures. So the key here is that when you receive your pay slip, this is on a monthly basis. So if you're paid fortnightly or weekly, you can just multiply it to make it a monthly basis. You key in your paycheck, right? So let's just say you got paid $6,000 for the month. What this does, it actually splits out the dollar values of what I can allocate for each of the buckets. So the process here is at the end of the month, what I would do is I would actually transfer $300 into my savings account, $1,500 into my food and entertainment bank account, et cetera, et cetera. Now, the key one we want to focus on is our savings account, right? Because we want to make sure that we can't pilfer it. So another tactic to prevent ourselves from pilfering our savings account is to have it with a completely separate bank. Right. So if you're banking with Wells Fargo, for example, set up a bank with another American bank. Yeah. Commonwealth Bank of Australia is an example that I'm familiar with. Set up a completely separate bank that you can't touch because, again, it adds another layer where you have to log into your separate bank account and try to steal it. So the harder to access, the better is the message. Now, in the other example, there's a business budget, right? So same principle applies. You'll have 5 bank accounts, 1 for your cash deposits, your employee wages, operating expenses, surplus profit, and taxes. Now, these percentage allocations are generally based on kind of the financial benchmarks of your industry. So every business is a little bit different. This is designed for a solopreneur, so a consulting business. An e-commerce business or a retail business will have different profit margins and different expense margins. So what my recommendation here is to speak with your accountant or bookkeeper just to get an understanding of what profit margins or expense margins you should be targeting, particularly relevant to your business. So same principle applies. End of month, calculate all of the cash deposits received from your customers at the end of the month. Let's say that's $40,000. Key it into the spreadsheet. And there you go, it'll spit out the allocation of cash that you need to split across your bank accounts for the multiple functions of your business. So there you go, pretty simple tip, right? And that's basically the hack. So yeah, the key summary is just transfer your budget allocations every month based on the spreadsheets and make it really difficult for yourself to pilfer your savings account and what you're trying to achieve. In the show notes, you can actually grab a copy of the budget that I've prepared. There's a link, so feel free to download it as you need to. That's it.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Well, this is all I know, and this is what I've always done. And unfortunately, I think the only way to get yourself out of that circumstance is to really self-educate yourself. And unless you're in that world of interested in business or finance, you're completely oblivious to it, unfortunately. So a really great book, which really got my mind into this whole world of investing in wealth, is Robert Kiyosaki's Rich Dad Poor Dad. I'm sure you must be familiar with it, but that's a great book for all first time readers, for trying to get into the world of money, basically. So.